Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing a series of talks on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, discussing the name, fame, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Name 824 is Suvrata, which for anyone who knows an Indian language is easy to understand. Su means something which is good, and Vrata means a vow. So it means he who has taken a good and strong vow. Parashara Bhatta is the first Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, and he glosses this term Suvrata as Dridavrata, which you know from Bhagavad Gita. That term Dridavrata comes in Bhagavad Gita. Who knows the verse? Anyone? Dridavrata? Satatam? Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha Dridavrataha namaschantascha mam bhakta nitya yukta upasate. The Mahatmas, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, are always engaged in glorifying me, Krishna, and do so with a firm vow to do so. They bow down to me in devotion, and in this way they're always engaged in my worship. So Suvrata can be a name that applies to a jiva as well as to Krishna. Some of the names only apply to Krishna, just like the name Purushottam. Well, it can apply to someone, just like a boy can be named Purushottam. There it's still a common name in India. You know someone from Dubai who is called Purushottam, right? It's a common name. But in its literal meaning, it can only refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This literally means the Supreme Person, the person above all others. But Suvrata can refer to a jiva also, and here in this Bhagavad Gita verse, Krishna praises those who praise him with a strong vow. Now, Krishna himself is setting the example. Just as the devotees, they praise him with a strong vow to do so, which is also a very good vow to do so. He also protects them with a strong vow to do so, and that's a very good vow. And someone can have a very strong vow, but it can be not a good vow. Just like Ravana, despite all advice to the contrary, except from his foolish sister, Shurpanakha, was determined to kidnap Sita. So he had a firm vow to do so, but it wasn't a good vow. So Suvrata in the fullest sense of the term means who has a good vow and a strong vow. Very strong. That strong vow and means that, yeah, no one's going to deter him from his vow. Once he's made that vow, no one's going to do it. And it's executed, and no one can stop him from doing it, which some may have a strong vow to do something, strong determination to do something, but still they're not able to do it because we're all inferior living beings. We're dependent on so many factors. Whereas Krishna is, he can do what he likes. There's nothing that can stop him. And what he vows to do, he does fully and properly. Yata katanchit pravishthanam sarvata paripalana dhrita vrata suvrata. Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, has taken a strong vow to protect those who come to his shelter, to protect, to maintain in all respects, and to do it by whatever means is required. This is Parashar Bhatta's commentary. He quotes Lord Rama's very famous vow from Ramayana in respect to Vibhishana, who came to take shelter of Lord Rama, and against the advice of another Sugriva. Sugriva means he's got a very good neck. Against the advice of Sugriva, Lord Rama said concerning Vibhishana, Sakrideva prapannaya tava asmiti yachate abhayam sarva bhutebhyo dadamye tat vratang mama. If anyone comes to seek shelter of me only once, and this only once is a major factor in Sri Vaishnava theology, only once, and who says, I am yours, tava asmi, I am yours. If he says like that, if he submits himself like that, even once, then I award him fearlessness from all living beings. Dadamyatat vratam mama. This is my vrata. I give this protection. This is my vrata. So this is the best example of a very famous example of a suvrata. Yeah, everyone please put off their whatever it is that makes noise, whatever different devices you may have that make various noises which are not desirable at the present time, if at any time. In Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya also, there is a work called Sharanagati Gadyam. Sharanagati means the way of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. It's recited in all the famous temples of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Ramanuja is well known for his elaborate commentaries on Vedanta, establishing Vishishtadvaita in opposition to Shankara's Kevaladvaita Vad. But in this Sharanagati Gadyam, there's no deep philosophy. It's simply the outpouring of the heart. What it is, it's in the form of a conversation between Ramanuja with Narayana and Sri Lakshmi. And in that he describes, he praises the kindness of Lakshmi. Of course, in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, we worship Lakshmi and Narayana as Radha and Krishna. So he first describes the compassion of Lakshmi and asks that you recommend me to Narayana. Then, after she gives her approval, Ramanuja approaches Ramayana and describes the qualities of Narayana. And Ramanuja says about himself, this is the mood of surrender, he says that I have committed so many sins and I'm ignorant of what is proper, what is philosophy, what is right, what is wrong. But anyway, I got a recommendation from your wife, so you should accept me. as one of your devotees. And he asks for the blessing that he can become a devotee, full devotee, never forgetting Narayana and his service. And then being pleased by this mood of humility and full surrender, Sri Narayana bless him that by this act of surrender, Sharanagati, all his, whatever, of course, there's no question of Ramanuja being in the slightest bit sinful, but it's instructive for us that all your karmas are wiped out and now you are admitted into the company of the devotees. So, in this Sharanagati Gadyam, we have Lord Narayan saying to Ramanuja, Anritam nokta purva me nacha vakshe kadachana. I never ever told a lie, and my words will never be false. And bringing to mind his famous utterance, Sarvadhaman paritajamame kam sharanam raja hangta sarva pabhebhyo moksha yashami masuchaha. If you just surrender to me, Krishna says, giving up all other ideas of what is right and what is wrong, what is dharma, what is adharma, all these, just fully surrender to me only, Krishna says, and I will wipe out all your sinful reactions. I'll free you from all them. Don't worry. I'll do it. I can do it and I will do it. So this is his vow. That he will protect his devotees. And in Sharanagati Gadyam we find him saying that it's a fact, I vow to you fully. So this is his vow to protect his devotee. And the devotee has the full faith that if he surrenders to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that Krishna will never leave me. Ashraya loya bhaje, tare Krishna nahitaje. It's one who worships Krishna, taking full shelter of him. Krishna will never abandon such a person because it is his vow to his devotee. He doesn't have to take a vow to anyone. He doesn't need anyone. He's fully self-sufficient. But he has this quality that he becomes as if indebted to the devotion of his devotees to the extent that he wants to give himself to them. Dikakale bhakta kare ata shamarpan, shekale Krishna tare kare ata sham. At the time of initiation, a devotee fully surrenders to Krishna, and in reciprocation, Krishna accepts that devotee as being just like himself. So this is Krishna's great quality. Then, Ramodve nabhipashate. There's another quotation that Rama, when he gives this, you may say, well, it's just some... He's a kshatriya, appears to be a kshatriya, so they may sometimes engage in diplomacy, telling lies, giving promises, and then breaking them, giving a promise to get someone's faith, and then as the situation changes, this is politics, this is how it goes on. Up to the present day, the great politicians, they make promises, and people believe them, and they get their votes, and then they don't do what they said they do because, well, you ask them why, because they wanted the votes, but they didn't actually want to do it. But Ramodve nabhibhashate, that's not true of Rama. He's a politician in the sense, he's a kshatriya and a ruler, but he doesn't resort to such low behavior. But whatever he says, he doesn't do double talk. If he says he's going to do something, he'll do it. Ek ban ek vachan, ek patni, said about Ram. He has one arrow. One arrow is enough to vanquish his foe. And then one wife. He only has one wife. As a kshatriya, he could have many wives, but he only has one wife. And one word. If he says one time, you don't have to go back again and again. Are you really sure? Could you please help me? I already said I'll help you. That's enough. One time enough. So that is Lord Ram. And his, in Gita again, he says, Janma karma chame devyame vangyo veti tatvataha tyaktva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. He says that whoever knows me, that my apparent birth and my activities, they're not like those of ordinary people. They're all completely transcendental. Krishna says one who knows this in truth doesn't take birth again in this world, but he comes to me. O Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna. So he may say, well, is that really true? Is that really true? And doubt. But if we say, is that really true? And if we doubt it, that means we don't know Krishna in truth. Because we know him in truth, we'll know that what he says is true. So, yo mam eva asamudho janati purushottamam sasarvavid bhajate mam sarva bhavena bharata. Krishna says, one who knows me as the Supreme, without doubting, knows everything, and then therefore worships me in all respects. So the point, we should not doubt. When he says, he'll do it. So when he says that he will grant the passage to the spiritual world to whoever surrenders to him, that he will do. Now, of course, sometimes we hear that Krishna encouraged Yudhishthira to tell a lie. Didn't personally tell a lie in that instance, but he might seem to be very tricky in other ways also. That's Krishna. This is Vishnu Sahasranam. And Rama, we're referring to Rama, he's Maryada Purushottam. He's the form of the Supreme Lord who sets the proper standard for behavior. And Krishna is Lila Purushottam. He does what he likes, as he likes, and no one can tell him not to. He's showing that, he's supreme and he's not under anyone's rules or morality. He makes the rules and he can break them as he likes. But actually, if we know Krishna in Janma Karma Chame Devyame Vangyo Veti Tatvataha, if we know in truth, the truth about Krishna, then we'll know that actually he's not immoral and he doesn't break any rules. He dances with the gopis, other people's wives. But no, if we understand deeply, we can understand that all living beings are his energy. They all belong to him. So sometimes people accuse Krishna of being immoral, but from the fully transcendental perspective, if anyone thinks, this is my wife, that's according to dharma, one should have a wife, not just a girlfriend, but a wife. You have children with a wife. But if you think that's my wife, from the fully transcendental perspective, you're wrong. Right, you have a wife, don't you? I presume. You don't have a wife. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Or maybe I'm not sorry. I don't have a wife either. Then, if you think this is my, if anyone thinks anything is my anything, that's an illusion, because everything belongs to Krishna. So all these things should be understood. And Krishna, when he was asked after the Mahabharata battle, why he did all these tricky things, apparently tricky things. He said, well, it was required to win the battle. Of course, Krishna, if he wanted, he could have just won the battle just by saying, he can do as he likes. Then there was no need of any battle. But then there's no fun. There's no Arjuna surrendering to Krishna. There's no paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkritam. There's nothing. There's, when he comes to protect the uplift the faithful and destroy the demons, but if he just does that by flicking a switch or just by a thought, he can do that. But then there's no lila, no such thing. So that also shows, by doing so, Krishna also shows, I'm getting a bit off the topic of Suvrata here, but he also shows that in this world, the nature of this world, if we want to go by the rules of this world, then the nature of this world is that we can't always be fully moral. There's dharma sankat. That means the principles of dharma may clash with each other. Drona has to be killed. He can't be killed unless Ashwatthama, his son, is killed. Ashwatthama can't be killed. He said before the battle, when Yudhishthira asked him, how can I kill you? He said, you can't. You won't kill me. So he wasn't to be killed. So then some trickiness. There's one elephant called Ashwatthama, and they killed him. And then Yudhishthira, without making a lie, but it was what you could call a white lie, Ashwatthama, blow the conch. Ashwatthama iti gaja. It's an elephant, and he couldn't hear the thing saying an elephant is killed. So like that, as they say in America, and what is that? Nice guys finish last. So that's the nature of this world. It's a nasty world, and we should act morally as far as possible, but sometimes for the sake of doing what is good in society, sometimes you have to do bad. To kill a person is generally bad. Sometimes can be considered good. At least the powers that be in this country and many other people in this country thought it was a good thing to kill Osama bin Laden, if you happen to remember him, if they actually killed him. Moral question. Would it have been proper to have killed Hitler at birth? What's the answer? Is it good to kill babies? What about if you happen to know that he was going to be Hitler? Well, he was Hitler, but he's going to do that. Then what? What would you say? Then it becomes a moral question, right? But anyway, the point is that, then you're not sure. So these clashes of possible moral behaviors, that actually the whole Mahabharata is just full of it from beginning to end. And how do you negotiate your way through all of this? Anyway, Suvrata means that whatever is right, whatever is wrong, Krishna will protect his devotees. That's the point. That's the main vow we're talking about here. Another commentator, Sri V.V. Ramanujan, refers to the Sri Vachan Bhushanam, in which it's stated that if someone just says the name of a Divya Desham, a holy place, without thinking of it as a holy place, but just in the course of saying it, then the Lord gives pious devotional credit to that person. Just like you might say, for instance, Thiruvananthapuram is the capital of Kerala state. And so you're not thinking of it as a holy place. But it is. And just by saying the name, you get pious credit. That is the agyata sukriti, unknown pious credit, which accumulates. The Supreme Lord makes a note. He said the holy name. Similarly, in West Bengal, we have Krishnanaga. And people, where are you going? I'm going to Krishnanaga. So the name Krishna is there. And people, it's just, as people pronounce the name as a place name. But the very fact that they say the name Krishna is to their pious credit. Another meaning of Suvrata. Shobanang Vratam Yad Vishaya Iti Suvrataha. All religious activities, all religious vows, rituals, practices, adherences are done to please him, therefore he's called Suvrata. In other words, all good things are done or should be done to please him. So it's another meaning of the name, which reminds us of the Gita shloka, Yat Karoshi, Yad Ashnasi, Yajjahoshi, Dadasi Yat, Yajjuhoshi. Dadasiyat, yat tapasyasi. Kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Krishna says to Arjuna, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever sacrifices or rituals you perform, whatever you give in charity, is you should do offering to me. So in this way, all the good vratas, all the good vows, should be offered to him, therefore he's called Suvrata. Krishna himself, his vows are auspicious, as our Gaurya Vaishnava commentator, Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Gaurya Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, says that his vows are auspicious, such as the rules for observing Janmashtami, his own birthday, the rules for observing the Kartik months, which are given in Shastra. He gives in Shastra the means to worship him by performing different rituals. And such performances were undertaken in the presence of Krishna when he was living at Dwaraka. But Baladev Vidyabhushan, in this series of names that we're currently discussing, he is describing the names in relation to Krishna's going to Mithila to meet Shutadev and Baholashva. So the previous name, Sulabha, easily attained. So Baholashva and Shutadev, they didn't have to go through any difficulty. Krishna just came to their house. They didn't go to him. So this name, Suvrata, Baladev Vidyabhushan says that they didn't go to Dwaraka to see Krishna to observe the festivals there because they were worshipping the deity of Krishna at home with a strong vow to do so, and they saw that Krishna here is the same as Krishna in Dwaraka. So in this way, Baladev Vidyabhushan links the names Sulabha and Suvrata, that he was worshipped with a great vow by Baholashvara and Shutadev, and therefore he became Sulabha, easily attained for him. So that's another example of how he makes good resolutions. He made the resolution at one point, I will go to Mithila to see my devotees. His resolutions are always to protect his devotees, to maintain his devotees, always for favoring his devotees. And in this way, they're all for the benefit of the world. And of course, his vow is to protect the devotees, paritranaya sadhunam, and also vinashayata dushkritam, to destroy those who are against his devotees. Now, a completely different understanding or interpretation is given by Shankaracharya in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, that he, by doing a different analysis of the Sanskrit, takes vratam, the word vrata, to be linked with eating. So, shobanam vratayati bhunte. What Shankara says, that he eats, Krishna eats, only the pure food, su can here be taken to mean pure, that is offered with sincerity by his selfless devotees. And of course, we know the patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhakti uparitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Krishna says, if one offers me leaf, flower, fruit, or water with devotion, I will accept it. Prayatatmanaha, this term, Srila Prabhupada translates as one in pure consciousness. Examples of devotees who offered food to Krishna, which he very happily accepted, was Vidur, or the wife of Vidur, offered Krishna banana skins to eat. You're going to serve prasadam to everyone now? You're going to give them banana skins to eat? Do you ever give banana skins to eat? It doesn't sound like it would be the most popular preparation. But the wife of Vidur gave banana skins to Krishna in her ecstasy when Krishna came suddenly to her home, and she only had some bananas, so she was peeling the bananas, but in her ecstasy, instead of giving the banana, she was giving the skin. But Krishna ate it anyway, because he thought, it's given with love, so I'll take it. Similarly, Sudama, the impoverished brahmana who had only some cheap, coarse, smashed rice, chipped rice, he gave, and Krishna took it very happily because it was offered with love. In his Rama avatar, Shabari, the forest woman living in the forest, fruit she offered to Rama, but first she tastes a little bit to see if it's good. You don't do that. You're not supposed to do that, right? You know, when you're cooking for Krishna, you don't taste it first. But she was tasting and then giving because she didn't want to give any fruit which went first class. So this is, he accepts food which is offered in love to him. Prayatatmanaha, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also glosses this as following the proper rules and regulations, which wasn't the case, or doing it properly. So devote, for us, we should follow all the rules and regulations. That Shabari didn't, doesn't mean that we shouldn't. Another meaning given by Shankaracharya, again related with food, is that he eats only food, only the proper kinds of food. He doesn't eat food which shouldn't be taken, like garlic, onions, all that, only the proper food. And he's controlled in doing so. Bhojanat nirvartayati iti suvrata. And he gives the example of the Supreme Lord in his Narayana avatar, who set the example for austerity and self-control. We know also from Gita, Lord Krishna says, natyashnatastu yogosti nachaikantam anashnataha nachati svapnashilasya jagrato naiva charjuna. One cannot become a yogi, Krishna told Arjuna, if one eats too much or too little. So eating appropriately means not eating too much. Eating the right food at the right time is also a factor, and not too much or not too little. Similarly, not sleeping too much or too little, and at the right time. So everything's regulated in Vedic culture, and Krishna himself sets the example of that. Another meaning, this is given by Satyadeva Vashishta, who explains so many names in Vishnu Sahasranama in relation to the Supreme Lord's maintenance of this universe. Because after all, Vishnu, if we think of the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Vishnu as a guna avatar is overseeing the maintenance of this universe. So Satyadeva Vashishta, another commentator, he describes this suvrata, the meaning that his vrata is, here it is signifying control or restraint, and he states that Lord Vishnu controls the world very effectively and expertly. And why is that so? He quotes from Taittiriya Upanishad. Yad bhisha vata pavate bhisho deiti suryaha. It is out of fear of the Supreme Lord that the wind god blows the air and the sun god gives heat and light. Bhisha smad agnish chandrascha mrityu dhavati panchamaha. Agni, Indra, and Mrityu, the Lord of Death, the Lord of Fire, the Lord of the Heavens, and the Lord of Death, they also act under his direction. And Satyadeva Vashishta gives more examples from the Shruti. Yasya Vrate, taking the word Vrate in referring to the Vrata of Suvrata. Yasya vrate prithivi nanamiti yasya vrate saphavajjarabhuriti yasya vrate oshadhir vishvarupa sa na parjanyamahi sharmayacha. It's from the Rig Veda. Then, Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the word suvrata used several times in relation to several great personalities, including Krishna and Balaram. They're described suvrato. The two of them, they took a firm vow and a very good vow. This is when they took the vow of brahmacharya, Krishna and Balaram, before going for their studies at Avanti. They took the vow of brahmacharya, so that was considered a very good vow. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, the name suvrata, or is used adjectively, or as, and what's that called, eponym, for Dhruva Maharaj, Maitreya, Kashyap, Bali Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami. So it's a common word. Devotees are Suvrata, Dhridavrata. Narad Muni is also addressed as Suvrata in Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Text 4. It's Canto 7, Chapter 4, Text 44. And in the purport to that, Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee like Narad Muni is addressed as Suvrata. Su means good and vrata means vow. Thus, the word suvrata refers to a person who has nothing to do with the material world, which is always bad. So remembering this name, suvrata, we can glorify the Supreme Lord for his protection of the devotees, and we can also pray for strength to him that we can be fixed in our vows and make a determination first of all, make a determination only to do the right thing, and that we should be fixed in our vows. Hare Krishna. That's all I have for the notes on that. Suvrata. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Does anyone have any question on this particular topic that's been discussed this evening? You're all Suvrata, Brahmacharis. All right, well, Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarupyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nitaya charnakang padayo nipatya kritvacha ka kushatameda vaham bravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chanda charne kurutanu ragaha parivadatu jano yata tatava nano mukaro navayang vicharyamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvisham. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna.